Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Former Minister Catherine Zapone has, as you know now, stepped away from her role as UN Special Envoy yesterday, stating that it is clear that criticism of the appointment process has impacted the legitimacy of the role itself. But the row continues to rumble on. Fáilte Ireland saying now that it's going to meet government officials today to update public health guidelines and provide clarity on the operation of outdoor events, and opposition continuing to criticise how the appointment has been handled by government. I'm joined now by Fianna Fáil TD Niall Collins, Minister of State for Skills and Further Education, and by Róisín Shorthall, co-leader of the Social Democrats. Good morning to both of you. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Niall Collins, you first off. The Taoiseach first mentioned outdoor summer on April 25th, by my reckoning. Maybe there are earlier mentions of it, but is it really too much to ask, given that that is how long this whole idea of moving everything outdoors was in the air, that things should have been made clearer by government agencies before now?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. The law, which was clarified yesterday by the Attorney General, is pretty much clear, and I think there was question marks and I suppose a developing controversy in relation to the gathering which happened at the Merrion Hotel. Was it within the law or not within the law? And I think it's right that Fáilte Ireland moved to clarify that post-haste. You know, like right throughout the pandemic, I think the ordinary people, the ordinary punter have, you know, from time to time struggled with, you know, various aspects of compliance right throughout the pandemic, because we've had to change it at so many points in time, you know, in terms of managing the pandemic and taking on board the public health advice. So the whole situation has been evolving, but I think it's fair
to say... It's more confusing than that, though, isn't it, Niall Collins, than an evolving situation when you have the law saying one thing, the guidance from government agencies saying another, and the public health advice coming from the experts saying yet another thing. How on earth is anybody supposed to be in any way clear about what to do?
Yeah, so look, the government take on board the public health advice. We know that, and there's a working friction between the public health advisors and government, because government has to balance the competing aims and demands of public health with the competing aims and demands of society and of business and of trying to reopen the economy. That goes without saying, and that throws up conflicts. I think what happened yesterday was the guidelines which were drafted and published by Fáilte Ireland didn't reflect factually what was in the regulations, and ultimately the regulations are the law, and that's the bottom line in relation to whether something was in compliance or not in compliance. But I think we have to keep it all in context, to be fair, Gavin. We're reopening. We're going through a number of phases of reopening, and the vaccination program is allowing us to do that. And we're getting to a stage where hopefully we will have, over the next number of weeks and months, short months, we will have pretty much and practically everything fully reopened and back to normality. And that's where we want to get to. We have, at this point in time, about 75% of our population will be fully vaccinated by Friday of this week. And the public health advice to government is, once we have 90% of our population fully vaccinated, you know, we'll be in a space where we can pretty much have most of our activities back to normal and open safely. And I think that's the end goal that we all want to get
okay,
to.
We're still a bit off from there yet, and people are looking for leadership from people like the Taoiseach, who attended that gathering, and from people like you. Regardless of what the law said and what the Attorney General says is the law, would you have gone to an event like that in the current context, Niall Collins?
Well, like I've been asked questions like that in a different context when we were debating the returning to indoor hospitality and dining. And I would have said, you know, from a personal point of view, I would prefer to dine and to avail of outdoor facilities based on the public health guidance and on the prevailing circumstances with the Delta variant. And that's a personal personal choice. But look, at the end of the day, I think the controversy...
Yeah, but you haven't answered my question about gatherings of that size and that nature. Is discretion not still the better part of valour now? Should people like you in leadership positions not be staying away from events like that? Or do you think that that's too cautious?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the people who are at the events have to answer for themselves, Gavin. But look,
Philip,
at the end of the day, people have to make their own judgments. They're responsible for their own actions, and they have to take their own decisions in a responsible nature. And at the end of the day, what was it? Was the gathering in the Merrion Hotel, did it comply within the regulations and the law? And the Attorney General has clarified that yesterday.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're at risk of losing the dressing room here in football parlance, aren't you? That by not setting clear personal example, the country really doesn't know what way to look, and people have decided, well, you know what, I'm just going to make up the rules for myself from now on.
No, I think the issue which arose yesterday was the Fáilte Ireland guidelines, and there was a difference between the regulations and the law and the guidelines which were drafted and published, and it was down to the interpretation of that, which has led to the confusion. But I think it was right and proper that that was clarified yesterday. And, you know, the controversy started in relation to the appointment process of a special envoy, and it then developed on into this event which was held at the Merrion Hotel. And I think, you know, really, at the end of the day, it was helpful that the Attorney General was able to come out and clarify that.
Roisin Shortall, can I bring you in here, please? Opposition might have claimed a political scalp here, but this was somebody who was no doubt going to be a very articulate and able spokesperson for Ireland on the international stage, when what was actually really needed of opposition here was to be providing clarity, insisting a long time ago that it was much clearer to those in the hospitality industry what they could and couldn't do.
Well, good morning, Philip. I think there's a number of different aspects to this whole issue that need clarification and answers from government. The use of the Merrion Hotel and the event there is just one of them. And certainly it was news to me that you could have a social event for 50 or more people outdoors. I wasn't aware of that. I think most people weren't aware of it. And, you know,
would you have gone?
I wouldn't have been invited, I think, in the first place.
Okay, well, let's say I invite you. If I had invited you to something on the 21st that there was going to be 50 people in attendance at, would you have gone?
I think I wouldn't, because I would have thought that it wasn't within the regulations. And, you know, I'm not alone in thinking that. We've all been kind of looking at ways of meeting outdoors, booking tables outdoors in restaurants and so on, and always being aware of that limit of 6 to a table. Now, somehow that didn't apply in these circumstances, and I think people were surprised about that. Adrian Cummins and the Restaurant Association were surprised about it, and they're seeking clarity. It seems Fáilte Ireland were surprised about it, and they're having a meeting with government today. And the Taoiseach himself, who is the minister responsible for these regulations within the hospitality industry, didn't seem to know. So, you know, it's very strange that this was the case, and also that there was this unseemly scramble yesterday to put together legal advice, which was issued last evening after 5 o'clock, before the government then put out their own defence in terms of the Taoiseach.
I have a text in, Moisin, on 51551 that illustrates the dilemma for the government now. The text reads, if the law is the law and the guidelines are just guidelines, maybe the current debate about communions and confirmations is moot. Are we in danger of a free-for-all now?
That is the problem when example isn't provided from the top. And like, this is very reminiscent of last summer, this time last summer. And
The Merrion Hotel did act within the letter of the law and the guidelines.
Allow me to finish, Philip.
Okay.
What I'm saying is the attitude of certain people who view themselves as being in an inner circle, and that rules don't apply to them, they apply to everybody else. And there is that same sense about this event. And, you know, it is very strange that nobody else knew that an event like this was permissible.
You're scoring points there, because it's actually a little bit more nuanced than that. They were within the law. They might not have been within the spirit of public health advice, but they were within the law.
Well, we're hearing about that afterwards, and like the government should have been clear about what is permissible, because all over the country there's been people trying to organise different events, weddings, for example. If people knew that you could have an outdoor event for up to 200 people, I'm sure lots of people and lots of venues would have been organising outdoor weddings, for example. But that wasn't clear to anybody at all, and it is strange that it's only after an event involves the Taoiseach and others that would be seen to be insiders that we get
yes.
legal advice.
Okay, Niall Collins, this is a ridiculous situation, isn't it, now, that you can have a wedding, take the bride out of her dress and put her into a pantsuit and call it a social gathering in the evening, and you can move from 50 to 200 guests outdoors.
Well, look, I mean, the point that I've made to you earlier, Philip, is this, and I think the vast majority of people understand that the government has been dealing successfully with the management of the pandemic all the way through, and yes,
so you
there has been very, very difficult decisions have had to be taken around events and certain events like weddings and funerals and communions and baptisms. The point that I want to impress upon your listeners is this: that we're moving at a pace to reopen society and the economy. And it's thanks to the huge efforts of the public and of our health services, and particularly our HSE and the vaccination programme. And there have been anomalies and there have been difficulties, and that's the context. And has the government got it right 100% of the time? No, absolutely not. But I think in the main, I think the government has done a very, very good job in terms of rolling out the vaccination programme. And we're moving into the space now where we're almost at the finishing line in terms of reopening all of our activities and all of society. So and you have a lot of anomalies which are still out there, which do frustrate people, and I recognise that. I'm a TD as well as a Minister of State, and I'm dealing with people every day of the week in my constituency office, and I hear their frustrations in relation to some of the anomalies which are thrown up day in, day out. But what I want to reiterate is that once we get to a position where we have about 90% of our population vaccinated,
you've said that already. Okay. Roisin, come in there.
Yes. And I think the vast majority of the population recognise that.
Philip, if I could just make the point, you know, the Minister hasn't addressed any of the core issues here. So while we await a clarification on exactly what the rules are in relation to outdoor dining, I think it's important that we get answers from government and from Simon Coveney in particular in relation to this role. The fact that Catherine Zappone has stepped
aside these are two separate issues now, and let's not conflate them, please.
Oh, absolutely, but they're related. And those questions still remain in relation to how this issue is handled by Simon Coveney in particular, but by the Cabinet generally. I mean, what exactly is the UN role that was that Catherine Zappone was to take up, and how did it come about? Whose idea was it to create that role?
And also, Niall Collins, is this role now so important that somebody else is going to be found to fill it?
Yeah, and I think they are fair questions. I'm not in a position to answer that. And I think the people who advanced this, Simon Coveney in particular, has put his hands up and said that this should have been done better. I think it's fair to say.
But he hasn't provided any answers at all.
Sorry, Roisin. All and sundry have acknowledged that it should be done better. Personally, I think there is a role for special envoys to be, you know, there's a positive role and a positive impact that special envoys can have. But I think that we have to have a formalised process by which we develop the roles of special envoys, that there's a consultation.
OK, what's your understanding of how this role came about? I mean, did Catherine Zappone suggest it, that this might be a useful use of my skill set and my contacts? Or did the Department of Foreign Affairs say, you know what we need right now in the United Nations is a role that doesn't formally exist for somebody like Catherine Zappone or anybody else to fill?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't say the Cabinet, so I wasn't privy to the discussion, so I know what was published in the media in relation to it, but I do think that there is a positive role that special envoys can play, and I think that we need to have a formalised approach in relation to developing these.
Philip, this is nonsense. You know, we know nothing about this role. The questions were put to Simon Coveney the other day on the radio, and he was indignant about being asked these questions. This is a publicly funded role. It was to be a publicly funded role. There was no clear process, no transparency at all about filling that role, and the government need to answer questions about that. I mean, they can't just say now we're drawing a line under it. Simon Coveney needs to answer those questions.
OK, was the role not a good idea, though? Would she not have done a good job, Roisin Shortall?
Well, sorry, this is no reflection on Catherine Zappone herself.
Well,
It is not. Catherine Zappone is a very able person and she has a lot of very good experience. But the question here
is... let's use that experience at the United Nations.
The question is, how did this issue arise in the first place? Was it as a result of lobbying for the creation of a role which then a certain person wanted to fill? Now, that is not proper process. That is not transparency. And if the government is going to, and the cabinet did approve this appointment, we have to remember that, the Taoiseach may not have been aware of the proposal, but he was part of the decision-making to approve this role and this appointment.
On that, Niall Collins, if the Taoiseach...
What is the role? And, you know, was there lobbying for the job? And why wasn't a person... Why wasn't a proper process followed in order to find the...
All questions part? Which Niall Collins can't answer, because we've already been asked them. But, Niall, if the Taoiseach wasn't happy with the process, why didn't he tell the Cabinet that he wasn't happy and that he wanted to look at it before confirming the appointment?
Yeah, look, as I said to you, Philip, I wasn't part of the Cabinet discussion, so I can't answer that for you. But I do think it's a fair point and a fair question in relation to the development of the role, and I think it's right and proper that Minister Coveney appears before the Foreign Affairs Committee and that officials from the Department of Foreign Affairs would appear before the Foreign Affairs Committee also to have that discussion with members of the Oireachtas and to flesh out exactly where the idea came from, where the concept of this role came from, what exactly this role was seeking to fulfil. I think that's fair and legitimate, and I think it's something which should happen.
All right, Niall Collins and Roisin Shortall, thank you both very much. I'm joined now by Paul Hosford, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Clarity was needed, clarity was sought. Have you achieved any clarity, Paul?
I don't think so, Philip. I don't think anyone has any real clarity. And one thing that listening to Niall Collins and Roisin Shortall, nobody was upset that the Fáilte Ireland guidelines were different from the law. That's not why the public is angry about this. There's nobody who was sitting at home poring over both documents, doing a like-for-like comparison and saying, I'm furious that one part here in the statutory instrument that was signed by the minister in July isn't reflected in Fáilte Ireland guidelines. That's not how people reacted to this story. That's not what they care about. What people care about is that if these gatherings were legal, and the Attorney General has said that they are, like the government, I'm minded to accept the Attorney General's advice on this. If these gatherings were legal and if they were government policy and if it was public policy that you could have 200 people at an outdoor party or gathering, why didn't the hospitality industry know about it? Why were we told for 6 or 8 weeks that communions and confirmations couldn't go ahead because Tony Holland was worried about the parties that would take place afterwards? Why weren't they allowed to go ahead and happen afterwards? Why wasn't the entire situation around this clearer from the get-go, and why wasn't the government forthcoming about what could be done? The issue here, Philip, in terms of clarity is, if on Tuesday you'd had Micheál Martin on your show and you'd have said to him, look, I'm having my child's christening on Saturday, we want to do 200 people, we've got 4 acres of land out the back, plenty of space, we want to have 200 of our closest friends over, he'd have told you, no, you cannot do that. That's against the rules. It's against the spirit of the law. If you asked him today, he would be forced by his own government's press release and his own government's actions to say, yeah, you can go ahead and do that. And nothing has changed in the public health advice, in the legislation or in the guidance. And that's where people are upset. And that's where that lack of clarity is coming from.
And when you look now at the lobbying from the hoteliers, the restaurateurs, from the bishops, clearly there is something of a free-for-all here now, with every interest group thinking, hold on a second, I don't see why I should be observing any kind of restrictions any longer.
Yeah, and it's going to be very, very hard to sell that message to people over the next 6 to 8 weeks, to say to people, particularly, look, if your son or daughter is 21 in a couple of weeks and they want to have 30 or 40 friends over, how do you say to people you can't have 30 or 40 people in your house and back garden but you can have 200 at an outdoor facility. How do you say to people you can't proceed with wedding or with communions or confirmations or christenings and parties afterwards, but you can do 200 outdoors? It's a bar that is set for people that is so high. 200 is a massive number compared to, you know, 200. I don't think I've been at a social event with 200 people in the last 2 or 3 years. You know, it's a lot of people. I think, like you said, the hotels are going to be asking for different allowances now. We've already seen two dioceses are saying they're going to make their own decisions on communions and confirmations. If you're a parent of somebody, of a child who's due to make particularly their confirmation, because there's no real catch-up for that, you're probably just going to press ahead and say, look, you know, if it's in the law, we're going to do what's in the law, and the public health guidance, you know, has gone out the window.
Governments have overcome bigger setbacks in the past than the resignation or the stepping back from an appointment of somebody like Catherine Zappone to a fairly minor position. But how damaged do you think this government is by this at this time?
I suppose the real question would be how it reacts in a couple of months. I think the fact that it's on, that there's a recess, there's a couple of weeks where there would be no, in theory, at least, there will be no additional controversies to deal with. Should mean that you know, that this damage is weathered. The one thing that, speaking to a number of TDs yesterday, government backbenchers particularly, is that they're kind of dismayed at the use of political capital on what is essentially not a meaningless job, but you know, a job that didn't necessarily need to be filled. For you know, this isn't like last year when Seamus Wolfe had attended the Oireachtas Golf Society dinner, where people were almost duty bound to protect him because he was a former Attorney General, he was a Supreme Court or an incoming Supreme Court judge. There, you know, there. This is the UN Special Envoy on Freedom of Expression. It's cost the government an awful lot of political capital. It's made a lot of backbench TDs across Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil really, really angry about how it's been handled. And, you know, it already caused some division at Cabinet. It just, you know, for a government, for a coalition government to kind of spend its political capital in this way has really dismayed a lot of people who are at the coalface.
You say all of this depends on how much additional controversy there is going to be. There is additional controversy under your byline on the front page of the Irish Examiner this morning. How much hot water is Eamon Ryan in?
Well, I suppose this comes back to the same legal ruling that the Attorney General gave yesterday about the Catherine Zappone events, that it was fully legal. You know, we know that the Transport Minister attended a party organised by a Green Party councillor and one of his advisors, Claire Byrne. She was their candidate for the Dublin Bay South by-election a couple of weeks ago. She polled about around 8%, but it was kind of seen, I suppose, the lens it was seen through by some in the party was that it was above the national polling, so it was a success. Some looked at it as a 14 percentage point drop on Eamon Ryan's polling in the same constituency in February 2020 and saw it as an unmitigated failure. But I suppose, like a lot of political parties, she had a lot of volunteers, she had a lot of help from across the country, and a lot of local organisations showed up canvas and knock on doors for her. So she sent an invite to 3,500 members who were encouraged to share within their local groups and ask them to come to this event in a cricket club in South Dublin. We know that she said she told us that no more than 50 were in attendance at any one time.
And do you know how that was policed? I mean, were people asked to stand outside on the road until two left so two could come in?
Well, there was an Eventbrite link in the invite, so numbers were kind of gauged beforehand, and the event itself took place kind of on the, I suppose, the veranda or the deck of the cricket club.
Pavilion, I think, is the word that they use in cricket.
As you can tell, I'm not a cricket man.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Paul Hosford. We're going to the United States after this.
text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.